WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here in the 9 o'clock hour. We've been on for an hour. We've been talking about whole Amazon. You're going to hear more and more about that. It's, of course, the merger between Whole Foods and Amazon. Two dominant companies in their respective places. Of course, organic, Wi-Fi, and kale. Whole Foods. They cornered the market on that a long time ago. Amazon cornering the market on delivering pretty much everything you want to your door. And they've evolved from effectively just taking over places like Barnes & Nobles and Borders. Remember that company that used to sell books in a real bookstore? Today, you think about buying a book. Oh, it's going to be online, or I'm going to digitally download it. Yes, there's still a couple bookstores out there. You can still go buy physical books, but the industry has massively changed. Then Amazon went into selling pretty much everything else, taking a market share from a place like a Walmart, because Walmart-oriented products are going to be pretty much found on Amazon, and you can now pay Prime, which is not all that expensive in a given year, and you get it in a day or two. And it's most things you want that aren't massive, you can, or in size, you can get them on Amazon. So that was an evolution. And then, of course, the evolution that Amazon got into programming. Now, if Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you can still, now you can, they're competing with the likes of Netflix in the entertainment space. So they continue this steamroll of dominance as they continue to get bigger and bigger and spread out to other areas. They have been delivering fresh food and groceries for some time now. But to really get there, to dig into this massive industry, a $630 billion industry, that's the grocery business in America, they just said, you know what, instead of just delivering in our own warehouses and our own hubs and our own portals, we're going to buy Whole Foods, Whole Foods Market. And now we're going to now have all of these Whole Foods all around the country, and we're going to start delivering and using these as distribution centers. And we're going to potentially bring the price down of what used to be called Whole Paycheck because it's so expensive. The worry of a place like a Kroger is that, yes, you've got two different consumers here, right? You've got the Whole Foods is still very expensive relative to going to a Kroger. But the worry for, so why does it hurt a Kroger so significantly when you're dealing with the Cartier of food in Whole Foods? Well, remember, Amazon for more than a decade went without really turning a profit. So their business model is, we're going to expand on razor-thin margins so that everything we do is cheaper than everybody else and more convenient than everybody else. And then at some point, we can finally raise our prices once we've pushed everybody else out. That's the worry here, is that Amazon now runs Whole Foods to your door for cheaper than Whole Foods used to do it. They lose money for the next 5 years. A $500 billion company, they can lose money for the next decade. And price cut, so that now everybody starts using Amazon. They get this organic food from Whole Foods, the Whole Foods division of Amazon, and it pushes everybody else out. That is the story and the worry for all the other grocery stores in America. But there's a flaw in that story. And the flaw is that this is nothing new. This is this whole delivery mechanism and system of fresh groceries, it's not new. I've been talking about this for the better part of 4 years now. So companies that are even more specific to doing this, like Instacart and an Alabama-based company called Shipt, S-H-I-P-T, that's what these companies have grown up and they are designed to do. So the thought that only Amazon can team up with Whole Foods and make this whole to-your-front-door fresh food industry work, I think is really a little short-sighted for the rest of the marketplace. And here's what I mean by that. Let's think about, and here's my, and this leads to prescription of what I think you'll see happen with these big grocery stores. So again, yes, yes, we know Amazon's changing the way we get food. It's $630 billion grocery business. But you've got the Instacarts of the world that deliver the same food from the same grocery stores to your door. Shipped. Same food, same grocery stores to your door. And they're already changing the way we access our groceries. We're not going to stop buying food. We're just going to change the way we buy our food. And I think this week's death of Kroger and death of Publix, even though you don't see it in the share price because Publix is private, but you've got to imagine that when they do their books at the end of the year, they're going to have to, it's going to be a tough year for Publix too, just because they're going to track what Kroger does. But I think that the death of Kroger's of the world is highly exaggerated on Wall Street, like typically happens on Wall Street. So here's the prescription for the Kroger's of the world and the Publix of the world. And if you're just tuning in, of course, I'm talking about this big merger between Whole Foods and Amazon. Amazon buying the giant grocery store chain. The value of the rest of the grocery store business got just annihilated this week in the market. Kroger lost a third of its entire value over a two-day period. For the week, Kroger down 28%, Costco down 77.5%, Walmart down 5%, Target down 8%, a collective loss of over $30 billion in market value. On Friday alone, for all these publicly traded companies that are in the grocery business, the culprit, of course, Amazon. Amazon's gain, the rest of the retail world's loss, or so it seems. But I'm here to tell you that the American consumer is fine. Who serves the consumer isn't necessarily fine. The American consumer is fine. Who serves the consumer is not, unless they wake up. And here's the prescription for them to wake up. So Kroger and Publix, they have been partnering with companies now, and it hasn't been for that long. Call it the last 4 years. They've been partnering with companies like Instacart and Shipt for several years now, but you don't ever hear anything about it. So it wasn't until this week as I started to do some, I've known about Instacart for a long time, but I'm only recently hearing about a company like Shipt. And it's not like I'm living in a cave somewhere. I'm trying to stay very current on everything in the world that's happening technologically. But if I'm just finding out about it, you probably don't know about it. Or at least there's a big percentage of those of you who are listening that never even heard of the app called Shipt, S-H-I-P, as in Paul T, to advertise how easy it is to shop now. They haven't been doing that. The Publix and the Krogers of the world, when was the last time you saw an ad that promoted the ease of use and ease of getting your groceries? You haven't. How many of those cheesy Kroger commercials have you seen in the last few years? Right? I love Kroger. I shop at Kroger. It's one of my favorite places. I love Publix too. I like both of them. But have you ever seen a good Kroger commercial? No. They're the worst commercials ever. So the commercials that you see, this perfect family, they're gathered around a table, they're holding hands, they're singing "We Are the World" together. By the way, that's not a family that I've seen, by the way. That doesn't happen in the real world. Does that ad make you want to run out to go get stuff at Kroger? No, it doesn't. What they need to show in their ads, by the way, is a real family in the real world, in the middle of the normal circus that we all live in, and the normal school year with sports and school and work and life and lacrosse tournaments, or the holidays when they're chaotic, and Thanksgiving when it's chaotic, and the too crazy to make it to the store six separate times life that most of us really lead. And maybe they'll start waking up to saying, well, wait a minute. I think you're going to start seeing the Publix and the Krogers of the world start touting the fact that they can solve your time problem, not just your food problem. And they haven't been focusing on that at all as companies. We know we can get discounted chips and soda and steak at Kroger. I know that. And that's what the commercials still tell me. But hey guys, I already know that. We already all know that. What they haven't been focusing in on, and this is why they're so behind in the conversation, they haven't been focusing on the time problem that you and I have as Americans, living in a city where even though Kroger is only a mile and a half from me, yes, today when the roads are open, I can get there in 3 minutes. But back when 285 or when the 85 bridge was down, my little road in Montgomery Ferry to wind my way to get to that Kroger could have taken 30 minutes. That's how backed up it was. So my problem is not that I don't know where to go get food. My problem is that Kroger and Publix have not told me how unbelievably easy it is for me to get my food because of all the new ways of delivery, that they have had zero help. They have not helped ship. They have not helped Instacart promote the fact that, hey, guys, for not a whole lot of money, and by the way, on ship for $35, if you have an order of $35 or more, they'll deliver it to you for free. Now, it's an annual membership. It's like $99 a year, kind of like Amazon Prime. But why wouldn't you just start on your app ordering all the things you want ordered and deliver when you know you're going to be home? I haven't heard one or seen one commercial from any of these grocery chains that promote that fact. And that will change. It'll change really quick after all these emergency board meetings that they're probably having right now at Kroger headquarters, Publix headquarters, Target headquarters, Costco headquarters. All the companies that deliver food or sell you food are going to have to understand how to compete in the now delivery food business. The ads are going to change. Now, will Publix and Kroger survive? Absolutely, they're going to survive. They're going to have to the transition, though, and that transition is going to be long and arduous. These are the companies that food grocery companies, they're going to stay under pressure for a while. They're going to stay under pressure for some time. But eventually, they're going to have an answer because the answer is already there. They just haven't woken up to it yet, and they will. They will answer this question, and you're going to see it happening very soon. They're going to have an answer for whole Amazon, and that's the elephant in the room. Stay tuned for more Money Matters right here at WSB Radio, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio, your host, Wes Moss here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Today, 8 to 11. Catch Monica Matthews today from 1 until 3 o'clock today. You're used to hearing her at 8 a.m. She is on special today. Life, faith, politics, Monica Matthews on today. Tune in for a special Father's Day edition. So what happened to the market this week? So Fed raises interest rates again. Second time in 2017, March 15th was the first time now this past week here in June. What did Yellen say? What did Fed Chair Yellen say? Well, the economy is doing very well. We've talked about that. And it's showing resilience. That's according to the Fed. You and I both know that though. Federal funds rate now in the 1 to 1.25, 1.25%. That's the new range. For years and years after the financial crisis, that number was effectively at zero. Today, 1.25. We're going to continue to see money market rates edge slightly higher. And of course, CD rates will go slightly higher because of the federal funds rate. What does it all mean, though? This means the economy can handle it. Fed's not raising rates because they think the economy is about to go over a cliff. It means the economy can handle it. And we're edging closer and closer to more normal interest rates or a more normal interest rate environment. Think back in 04 and 05 when the federal funds rate was between 2% and 3%. That's likely where we're headed, or at least 2% over the next year to 2 years. The Fed thinks by the end of 2018, according to the Federal Reserve, will be at 2.1%. Then the market, though, is forecasting only 1.5%, approximately. That's the range. Remember, well, when we get back for break, I'm going to talk about some of the recession indicators that we need to watch for. The Fed, of course, is watching for. But that straight ahead here. Stay tuned to Money Matters right here. News 95.5, AM 750. WSB.
55.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's Father's Day. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. And if you're headed to play golf, which you should on a beautiful day, or brunch, Father's Day brunch. Should we still do that? Or just a normal day with your kids, your grandkids. Good morning. Enjoy the day. I'm excited that it's Father's Day. And I typically have the kids with me in the studio, or at least one, sometimes two of our four boys will be here in the studio. So I've got a 10, a 7, a 5, and a 1-year-old. Of course, the 1-year-old doesn't come. I'll bring Ben and Luke on a Sunday morning. If we do a 2-hour show typically, and it's fine. 3 hours is a little much to wrangle children. And especially the older two, they end up fighting. I mean, I've had to, in the middle of being on air, I've had to turn off my microphone, tell them to stop throwing things at each other, banging cans on the desk. So it gets to be a little unruly in the middle of Money Matters. And it can't really happen. So good morning. I don't have the kids with me in the studio this morning. So we have a busy day in the Moss family. Lacrosse tournament weekend, and there's a lot to do. So as soon as I get out of here, I will be headed to enjoy Father's Day, and I hope you do the same. So we're here live, though, and if you are just tuning in or you typically listen to Money Matters, welcome. Thank you for being with us. We've talked really the first hour and a half of the show about this just completely different world that's changing at the speed of light. And when I say speed of light, I really mean that, because it's really the data transfer in the world that we live in is, by the way, approaching the speed of light. It's not quite there yet. Data can travel in a vacuum effectively at the speed of light. There is some technology out there that's been developed that allows for effectively the internet or high-speed data to move at the speed of light. It doesn't do it just yet, because data still has to bounce around inside these fiber optic cables, and there's a little bit of friction in there, I guess. I'm not a physics professor, but it is the whole reason we're seeing the Amazons buy Whole Foods of the world, and the customization of how we shop has to do with the evolution of the internet. If you go to rural America, and I use the example, and this is a cover story in the Wall Street Journal this week, that there's a whole segment of the population, close to 30 million folks in America, mostly rural, that don't have high-speed internet. Well, this whole Amazon Whole Foods thing isn't hitting them, because you can't really even use a smartphone or your PC if you're using dial-up to really get anything done. But where we live, where you and I are listening, where you're listening from today, we absolutely can, because we have access to incredibly fast data. And that is shaping the industries and reshaping the industries that we have known to so well for so many years. And that's exactly what's happening in the world of grocery, the $630 billion grocery industry. So good morning. We'll go to the phones in this hour. Questions here on a Sunday morning. It might be, maybe you have a question about how all this relates back to you in retirement, and what does it mean for your 401k account or your 403b or your TSP account with the government, or any sort of retirement plan that you are slogging away at and putting money in? What does all this really mean? Here we are at a stock market all-time high. What does that have to do with retirement for you? Is it time to get more conservative? Does the market at a relative high here, does it mean that we're on the precipice of trouble or disaster? And you've got the swirl of news in Washington. We have the swirl of geopolitical news. We have our eye on North Korea. We have our eye on the Middle East. We're worried about oil prices. We're worried about all of these issues that face us. How does that come back to you and your family? What does it mean for retirement. If you have a question about an IRA or a Roth or an investment account or a mutual fund or an ETF or an index fund or a company or a stock or a bond, then, or an annuity, or what kind of annuity, whether it's a variable, an index annuity, or all these products that you and I face on a daily basis that are maybe being pushed on you, or you're just ready to make a financial decision and you're kind of at a crossroads, then we're happy to help here on a Sunday morning. It's a fun part about Money Matters. So we'll open up the phone lines. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Phone lines open. Ryan Ely here to take your call and patch it through to me here on Father's Day. to answer your financial questions. If you're in town and you're running around and you're listening to the radio, or you're just in your kitchen overlooking something wonderful in the backyard or on the back porch and listen to WSB radio, then give us a call here in the studio. It's the fun part about Money Matters. It's what we love to do, answer your calls and your questions. And we'd be happy to have that conversation with you here on a Sunday morning. And we're very happy to help. So again, whether it's a retirement income question, has a spouse question about retiring the next year or two or three or five, an income investing question, do you have the right kind of bonds or the right kind of stocks or the right kind of alternative income, whether that's closed-end funds or REITs or MLPs or energy-related companies, we're happy to take those questions. Maybe it's a pension lump sum or a pension payment, and we're looking to do some math. If you're worried, if you don't quite understand the 6% rule, the 6% test, on your pension or lump sum question, of course, that's what we can help with. Or maybe it's just something that's tangential to investing, whether it's real estate or one of these other areas that you're faced with. We're happy to take those calls and questions. Again, the number in the studio phone line's open, 404-872-0750. Hey, honey, we should call that West guy on Sunday morning. I've been meaning to ask him for a while. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll go to the phones here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to talk about, we've talked about the Federal Reserve, and we've talked about how rates are headed higher. And we've got to also take a look at what's happened in the world here. Even though the Fed raised rates this week, 10-year Treasury bonds still only at 2.16%. So we're still only at 2.16%. We're not anywhere close to these high interest rates that the world thought we were going to have. Remember, it was not that long ago that 68 out of 68 economists predicted the rates would be higher. I want to say that was 2014, and rates actually ended the year lower. So there's just an awful lot that is swirling around the world, and it makes for a very confusing investment environment. That's why we're here to help. But last week, again, markets up on the Dow Jones for the week, up about 0.5%. S&P 500 virtually flat, and the NASDAQ down 1%. So this is one of the first weeks we've seen in a long time where you get a very different reaction within markets, depending on S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Dow. We've typically seen for the last many years, the Dow and the S&P almost go in lockstep with each other. And effectively, the NASDAQ follows the same pattern. This is the first couple of weeks we've seen where there's a little bit of divergence. Part of that has to do with the NASDAQ has had such a run-up in 2017. Was up almost 17% or over 17% at one point. Now it's up still 14%, but there's been a pullback. So you've seen a pullback in the big tech names that we all know, Apple, Google, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Google. And that part of that is the air getting let out a little bit in the technology side of the world. And that's why the NASDAQ down 1% on the week, Dow Jones up 0.5% on the week, the broader S&P 500 basically flat on the week here. We're going to go to the phones here and start with Chris, who joins us from Conyers. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help? What's going on?
I've got an offer from a previous employer. I was only there 10 years, but I was vested. I'm 56, and they're giving me an offer for a single life annuity, half of what it would be when I turn 65, a life annuity guaranteed 10 years, which is a little bit less than that. The lump sum of only $42,000, which I'm not even going to need it. I don't need it now. I'm not going to need it then, really. So would it be better just to take that lump sum and put it in a mutual fund? I probably would get more money that way than I would depending on a retirement account, wouldn't I?
Well, Chris, let's just do some quick math for you. What's the monthly amount they're offering you for this 10-year certain or even just the life annuity? Let's just start with that. How much per month?
Okay. Well, I just said it down.
And you're only age
56. $148 $148 a month. Now, that starts this year in October, but it's, which is crazy because I'm not even retirement age, but I guess they just want to get me off the books.
Well, that's like so many companies that are doing that, and it's just this. I've seen this carousel of this happening over and over again, right. Merry-go-round. So it's $1,776 a year. Yep. And then we take that and just divide that by the lump sum payment, which is $42,000. That's only it's a 4% monthly payment or an annual payment, which is abysmal. Now, granted, right. it's because you're only 56 is right. why that number is so low.
Right.
Because they've got to pay you the way they look at this. Hey, maybe Chris lives 40 more years easily. We're going to pay you $148 a month. For 40 years, we're going to pay you $70,000 over the course of 40 years. Yeah, you're way better off taking the $42,000. Yeah, absolutely. So my test is 6%. So if you're 65 and you get a lump sum offer and you take the monthly amount and you multiply it by 12, and then you divide that by the lump sum offer, and if the monthly or the pension, the income is 6% or higher, then that's a little bit tougher for you to beat on your own, right?
Right, right.
So, because to some extent, it's guaranteed. Now, the company has to stay in business, but most pensions are covered by the PBGC. So even if the company goes out of business, it's covered by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. So it is very safe. In your case, though, they're only giving you a 4% guaranteed rate of return. That's not good enough. So you can effectively take the money, put it into an IRA. So this has to go into an IRA, of course.
Okay.
Not an after-tax account, but an IRA. You roll it in there. So there's no taxation on it at that point. And you can't even really touch, you don't want to touch this IRA money anyway until you're 59 and a half. Yeah. So
it's just found money as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So I would just, I'd take the rollover and run. And according to the 6% test. Chris, hopefully that's helpful today. Thanks for listening to the show.
You answered the question. I just sought wise counsel and I got it. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Take care. Happy Father's Day. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've got a lot of great calls on hold here. So stay tuned here to WSB Radio and Money Matters. You can find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button, upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. We're happy to answer your questions within 48 hours. Stay tuned for more right here on News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Let's go right to the phones, your calls and questions. 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. David joins us on the line. David, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Next year, I turn 70 and a half and have to take the minimum distribution for my traditional IRAs. And I was wondering what the percentage was and... The other thing was, if I continue to work, is that affected by that?
Well, a couple of thoughts here. So the IRS sets these required minimum distributions. So if you go online, you'll see that at age 70, you have a distribution. You've got a factor of 27.4. Effectively, you do the math on that. You take all of your IRA balances and you divide it. So 27.4 is the number, effectively 3.7%. So you're going to be required to pull out about 3.7% from your IRA. And if you don't, you get a giant 50% excise tax on the money that you should have taken out, right? It's a collective. It's all of your retirement accounts. The only way that it gets impacted if you're still working is if you're contributing to a current plan. So if you're working at 72, let's say, and you've got a 401k plan at work and you're still putting money into that and it's $300,000 inside the 401k, that does not come into the equation for your required minimum distribution because it's considered an active plan. But if you're not working, then all of your plans are at play, whether it's an IRA or a 401k, it's any retirement account. Are you still working now?
Yes, I am and plan to work till I am 72.
Got it. And how much, so you have an active plan that you're contributing to, correct? A 401k?
Not a 401k.
It's not?
No, I'm a member of a union. I have a pension plan and also an annuity that they have for me. So
got it. So really then all of your regular IRA money, though, would still be, and you have obviously you have IRA accounts outside of that?
Yes,
I do. So those are going to be at play. Even though you're still working, those retirement accounts, are you're still going to have to do the required minimum distribution on those particular accounts.
Okay.
All right, David, listen, we got to run. Thank you for the call. Thanks for listening to WSB Radio, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye. Stay tuned. More Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour with your calls and questions straight ahead.